So you are starting guitar class after a long break. So let me remind you today, only let me what we have to see. Then we said we can tomorrow be a proper class. Come to the class today first so that we can continue with this, the actual teaching from tomorrow. Now we are seeing the Bhashyam of 21st verse of second chapter. But before I go there, let us just read from the 11th verse of Bhagavad Gita. Just for us to, because a long break is starting. Om Harihi Om Tatsat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Mukankaroti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Paramanandamadhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्नविदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। सांख्य योगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः। श्री भगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वं प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासो न गतासोंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः नत्वेवाहं जातु नासं नत्वन्नेमे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम् देहिनोऽस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाः आगमापायिनो नित्याः तां स्थितिक्षस्व भारत यं हि न व्यथयन्त्येते पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखं धीरं सोऽमृतत्वाय कल्पते नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः अविनाशितु तद्विद्धि येन सर्वमिदं ततं विनाशमव्ययस्यास्य न कश्चित् कर्तुमर्हति अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्यु अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्यस्व भारत ययेनं वेत्ति हन्तारं यश्चैनं मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायं हन्ति न हन्यते न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे वेदाविनाशिनं नित्यं ययेनमजमव्ययं कथं स पुरुषः पार्थ कं घातयति हन्ति कम्। ओके, इट्स अ लॉन्ग ब्रेक स्टार्टिंग। सो बिफोर वी एंटर इन टू द एक्चुअल पोर्शन वेर वी हैव टू सी I just want you to come back to the class today first. See, now we are seeing in these verses, from the 11th verse onwards. Of course, Bhagavan promises, Bhagavan states very clearly a presence of fact. Panditaha na anushochati, a wise person does not grieve, which means whoever grieves is definitely not wise, an ignorant person. So where there is ignorance, there grief is inevitable, unavoidable. Where there is knowledge, grief will disappear from there. So it's all in knowledge and ignorance. The difference is knowledge and ignorance. The knowledge brings about the perspective change and grief. They will not mistake the Atma for a subject of action. They will not mistake the Atma for an object of action. So the person who says, who thinks Atma is the killer, the person says, I am the killer, then he mistakes the Atma to be the killer. He considers Atma to be the killer, which means he mistakes Atma to be a subject of action. Even though the act of killing is mentioned here, what is implied by this verb is, what implied here is, Atma is neither the subject of action, nor is Atma an object of action. Hantaram yahamanyate, whoever considers Atma to be the killer, he mistakes the Atma to be the subject of action. Whoever thinks Atma to be the killed, hatam manyate, he mistakes the Atma to be an object of action. Atma becomes affected by that action for that person. So both of them do not know. If a person says, I am killed, and if a person says, I am going to kill, which means he does not know the Atma. If he knows his Swarupam, what his Swarupam is, if he knows that Swarupam of the I is Atma, if he knows Atma's nature of the Atma, then he cannot say, I am the killer, I am going to kill, or I'll be killed. Therefore, Bhagavan says, whoever considers the Atma to be the hanta, the killer, the slayer, yaha enam hatam manyate, whoever considers the Atma to be killed, which means whoever considers Atma to be subject of action or object of action, both of them do not know. Why? Because he makes it very clear, na ayam hanti. This Atma, all-pervasive, abstract formless reality, obtaining as the self, implied with the term Atma, obtaining as the content of I, does not kill. Atma does not kill. Nor is Atma killed. I am na hanti, I am na hanyate. Atma does not kill, Atma is not killed. Atma is not the subject of action, Atma is not an object of action. I am na hanti means what? Atma does not kill. What does it mean? Atma is not the subject of action. Na yam hanyate. This Atma is not killed means what? Atma is not object of any action. Not only the act of killing, Atma is not a subject of any action, nor is Atma an object of any action. Atma has nothing to do with any action, which means Atma is free from all accessories involved in associated with in any action. Subject, object, instrument, purpose, benefit, locus. Atma is not associated with any of the accessories, karakani. Atma is absolutely free from action, which means Atma is absolutely free from all accessories associated with the action. Means Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Akartrutvam Atmanaha Swarupam. What the final teaching here? In the 19th verse, I briefed the meaning of the whole verse. What the final teaching? Atma does not kill, Atma is not killed, means Atma had object of action, Atma is free from all accessories associated with action, means Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. The final teaching.
Sorry, Swamini, can I just interrupt? I don't know what happened to my Zoom. It all got frozen. Can I start recording? Thank you.
Okay. Atma is ever of nature of actionlessness. Therefore, this is a fact. This fact is first firmly conveyed in this verse 19. Therefore, this verse can be taken as what? Pratignya shlokaha, pratignya mantraha. Because this verse beautifully conveys the fact. By stating what it is stating, is conveying the fact Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. When this fact is conveyed, again in this following verse, Bhagavan gives the reason why, how Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Sailinmai, Atma odi swarupam. Actionlessness is the nature of the Atma. How is it explained? What's the reason to say that? Again, that reason is given explained in the 20th verse. The 20th verse is what? Hetvartakaha shlokaha. Hetvartakaha shlokaha means what? Hetu means reason. Reason is given, explanation is given why, how Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Let us see the 20th verse now. All this I'm going to remind you again in the Bhashyam of the 21st verse. Najayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyah ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranah nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So here, what was stated already is again said in this verse. Na hanyate han sharire hanyamane. So here, what is not killed when the body is killed? I am. This third person singular pronoun I am denotes what? This self. This meaning this indicates a self. This nearest self. All pervasive, absolute, abstract, formless, subtlest reality, obtaining as the nearest self, as the very swarupam of I, the knower, that self, I am Atma, na hanyate sarire hanyamane, is not killed when the body is killed. Okay, Atma is absolutely indestructible. Atma is indestructible meant what? Atma is not subject to any change. Please understand. Na hanyate sharire hanyamane. Atma is not at all killed when the body is killed. Which means Atma is not subject. Atma is absolutely indestructible. Absolutely indestructible means what? Atma is not subject to any change or whatsoever. Atma is absolutely not subject to any change. So what is a change? How can you understand change? Changes are happening in the form of birth, death, growth, decay, and in disintegration. These are all changes. This is how we have to understand changes. Everything in this world, anatma, other than the atma, everything else in this world is subject to sixfold modifications. That's why our body is always given. We understand this all possible six modifications always understood to our own physical system, physical body. Body subject to sixfold modifications means all material products are subject to sixfold modifications. Especially the living beings. But you see, the beings with the life, they come into existence. Jayate. What is a birth? Birth is a gross change, a big change. Something was not all here. The body was not seen. It was not even there before. It was somewhere in mother's womb, slowly growing, tiny one. The mother's womb becomes big. One day it comes out. It's a big change, gross change. That change is not there for Atma. Na jayate. Atma is not born means Atma is free from the grossest change happening in the form of coming into existence. Okay? Being born is a big change. Because the body before being born also undergone many changes. The tiniest form, it has become a considerable form and then it got delivered. The big change. Gross change. The na mriyate. Again, it's not object to gross change in the form of death. Na mriyate, atma does not die. The body has been living for so many years, going through changes, and finally one day the body falls apart. The body falls apart. The body becomes dead. The sukshma departs, the body becomes dead, lifeless. Then slowly the body, whether it's buried or cremated, is simply thrown away, it becomes disintegrated and completely the whole form collapses. The form collapses. The so-called, the person with the name, okay, that body through which the person was available for interaction, transaction. My God. Okay, pain and pleasure for sharing pairs of opposites, no more available. This total disintegration happens. That is a big change, a gross change. So, mriyate. I am na mriyate. Atma is not subject to huge, big, gross change happening in the form of birth and death. Okay? Kadachit. I am bhutva abhavita va na bhuyaha. So, having been there for some time, it does not become non-existent. Does not become something which is non-existent. Then, which means in between this birth and death, in Shankara Bhagavata's commentary, we saw Atma not only is not subject to gross changes in terms of birth and death. In between birth and death, whatever changes happen, growth. Growth, we've been seeing people, suddenly we see, but we don't really, every day we don't make note of the change happening in our body. After some time, many years, we see the change. But that vardhanam, vardhate, that verb denotes a subtle change. Every day, subtly the change happens. Subtle change. Vardhate. Viparinamate. Even metamorphosis are very subtle changes. You can't even make out because the person is still there, available, but a lot of changes are happening in the body. Subtle changes. Growth. Metamorphosis, vardhanam, vipranamaha. Then apakshaya, then decay. Decay is also gradual change. Slow, gradual change, subtle change. So between, in between two big gross changes, there happens what? Subtle changes. So physical body is subject to, this subtle changes. Subtle and gross changes. Therefore, physical material products are said to be subject to relative destruction. They're not totally destroyed. They're constantly subject to change. Material products are constantly undergoing changes. Therefore, they're subject to gross changes in the form of birth and death. Subtle changes happening in between birth and death. Whereas Atma is not subject to gross changes. Atma is subject to subtle changes also. Atma is absolutely free from changes. Therefore, Atma is absolutely indestructible. Therefore, what? We understood every word ajaha, unborn, nityaha. Atma has been there birthlessly, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently. Our Atma is nityaha, eternal, timeless. Shashvataha. Shashvataha, we already understood Atma is permanent, means not subject to relative changes also, subtle changes also. Therefore, I am Puranaha. Not only not subject to change, it is ever the same. Such an Atma, na hanyate sharire hanyamane. Atma which is of the nature of changelessness is not killed, and the body is killed, means Atma is absolutely indestructible. So material products are relatively destructible because they are subject to change. They are not created newly. Matter is not newly created. It is there always beginninglessly, but it is of the nature of undergoing changes. Therefore, material products are subject to gross and subtle changes. Therefore, they are subject to relative destruction. Whereas, Atma is free from all changes, subtle and gross changes. Absolutely changeless, therefore absolutely indestructible. So what? An indest being associated with an action, involved in an action means being subject to change. Atma is avikriyaha. Absolutely changeless. Vikaraha nasti iti avikriyaha. Avikriyaha. So avikriyaha, therefore what? This is indestructible. Because of this nature of indestructibility, because of this nature of changelessness, Atma is definitely free from actions. So being avikriyaha, being changeless is the reason, hetu, for being akarta. Atma avikriyaha ataha atma akarta. Atma is not subject to any change. Atma is always subject to changelessness. Therefore, Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Changelessness is the reason. Avikriyatvam is the hetu reason for stating Atma's nature to be actionlessness. Avikriyatvam is the hetu for akartrutvam. Atma akarta means what? Atma is not subject to action also. Atma is not associated with any of the accessories associated with the action. So what? The hetu is given in the 20th verse. So 20th verse is said to be hetvartakaha shlokaha, where the reason for actionlessness, the changelessness is given. The changelessness being the reason for actionlessness is explained in the 20th verse. Okay. Having explained, again restating, reinforcing the fact already conveyed in the 19th verse, again 21st verse, is it to be what now? Nirnayaha. So again, conclusion. Again, conclusion is made. Therefore, this is the fact about Atma. The reason for this stating this fact is this, is given the 20th verse. The 21st verse, again, conclusion is made. Okay. That is the 21st verse. So, Nirnayaha. The verse of final conclusion is 21st verse. What is said here again? See, we have long bhashyam. That is why I wanted to, because we are restarting the class, so I wanted to bring you back to the class. Now 21st verse we are seeing.
Veda vinashinam nityam yaye namajamavyayam katham sapurushav partha kam ghatayati hantikam.
So the 21st verse is a verse of conclusion. So verse of conveying the fact, pratignya shlokaha. Then verse presenting the reason, hetvartakaha shlokaha, verse number 20. And again, we can say verse of conclusion is what now? 21st verse. What does the verse say again? Repeats what was said in the first verse. After giving the proper reason, again, mantra Bhagavan Krishna repeats the statement as a statement of conclusion. So whoever knows his whoever missed, the person who knows the Atma to be absolutely indestructible, avinashinam yahaveda, whoever knows this Atma to be absolutely indestructible, absolutely changeless, yaha enam avyayam veda, who understands Atma to be absolutely changeless, ajam, birthless, the person who understands Atma to be indestructible, to be changeless, to be unborn, that person must be definitely of the knowledge that Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Changelessness implies actionlessness, which means Atma is not associated with any of the accessories associated with the action. Atma is not the karta, Atma is not the karma, Atma can never be the karanam, Atma can never be the purpose, Atma can never be the benefit, Atma can never be, Atma has no benefit, Atma has no purpose, Atma has no object, Atma has not, no, Atma is not the subject, Atma has no locus, Atma is not associated with any of the accessories of action. Karaka sambandha nasti atmanaha. Atmanaha karaka karaka. Karaka sambandha nasti. Therefore, what? Atma is akarta. Atma is abhokta. Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Why? Atma is unborn. Atma is changeless. Atma is absolutely indestructible. Being associated with an action means being subject to some form of change or the other. Therefore, changelessness is the hetu reason for saying that Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, he said, if a person knows actionlessness is the nature of the Atma, such a person, a jnani, definitely cannot kill anyone by any means at all. A jnani cannot kill anyone for any reason by any means at all. This fact Bhagwan does not state directly. Indirectly, he presents it in the form of an objection by asking question, by presenting the question using interrogative pronouns. Yaha enam avinashinam veda, yaha enam avyayam veda, yaha enam ajam veda, saha kam ghatayati, whom does he kill, achajnani, katam ghatayati, how does he kill? Not only he does not kill anyone, he cannot kill anyone by any means. He cannot even instigate another person to kill or to instigate to kill. Kam ghatayati, katam ghatayati. How can that such a jnani? Whom can he kill? How can he kill? Whom can he instigate to kill? How can he instigate anyone to kill? So these questions actually, even though they're questions, the pronouns used are interrogative pronouns. Kam ghatayati, kam hanti. Objective case form of the interrogative pronoun. Whom does he kill? Whom does he instigate to kill? Then the actual question comes, how does he kill? How does he instigate to kill? So these questions actually are not actual questions. What did we see in the Bhashyam? Now I come to the point. These questions are not actual questions. So Shankara Bhagavatpada explains in his commentary why these are not actually questions. These are not regular as questions because Bhagavan himself playing the role of a teacher. And in the very beginning of teaching, the teaching is not even complete. He has begun teaching. Therefore, being a teacher, he cannot ask questions. He cannot ask questions to his student who is listening to him. And even he cannot ask the student a question because the teaching is not complete. Teaching has just begun. Before even completing the teaching, he cannot ask questions. Even the students, he cannot expect answers from the student also. Nor can a teacher ask the student his questions. Therefore, definitely they are not questions. Again, if at all they are questions, or somewhere or the other, there must be relevant answer for the question. Jnani can kill so and so. Jnani can instigate to kill so and so. Like that answer must be there. There's nowhere
relevant answer for these questions is there. Therefore, in the context, it's very clearly understood these questions are not prashnartaha prashnaha. They're not questions asked as questions, but they're questions presented as an objection, implying negation. Objection implying negation. This made very clear. In this commentary, we saw that portion we saw. Again, the second reason was given. Avikriyatvam, changelessness being the reason given. Changelessness being the nature of the Atma was mentioned or explained in this 20th verse as a reason for saying the actionlessness being the nature of the Atma. Changelessness being the nature of the Atma was implied in his 20th verse as a reason for the actionlessness being the nature of the Atma. Akartrutvasya hetuhu avikriyatvam. Because of this, already it was mentioned. Therefore, these questions, definitely, the reason was already given. Therefore, these questions are not real questions presented as questions, but questions presented as an objection implying negation that Jnani cannot kill anyone, can by any means, Jnani cannot instigate anyone to kill by any means. Okay. Then Purupakshi came with an objection. That's where we stopped, I think. Understand? This much I want to explain. What is the next thing? Now Purupakshi comes. Okay. What are the main important the answer we need to understand from Shankara Prabhupada's commentary is yet to be read. We stopped there. The Purupakshi's problem was the Jnani, the knower of the Atma. Jnani is the one who knows the Atma. So he understands Atma is ever of the nature of changelessness. Avikriyatvam Atmanaha Swarupam. Therefore, akartrutvam, actionlessness, is the nature of the Atma. That's fine. That is fine. The problem for him was, Jnani is also of the nature of actionlessness. Jnani is actionless. When you say, Yaha Veda, Avinashinam Avyayam Ajam Yaha Veda. Whoever discovers, knows, understands the Atma to be indestructible, changeless and unborn, that person, how can he kill, means whoever knows, the knower of the Atma is a Jnani. Jnani cannot kill, cannot instigate, means Jnani is free from actions. Jnani is not subject to any action. Jnani is free from the hold of actions. Jnani is of the nature of actionlessness. So Jnani also is free from actions. That is where the Purupakshi's doubt comes. Oh, Atma is action. Atma is changeless. Therefore, Atma is actionless. Fine. But Jnani is the knower of the Atma. Jnani is the knower of the Atma. So, knower of the Atma is different from the known Atma. according to Purupakshi. Because he knows very clear, he knows that we always understand the knower is never the subject. Knower never becomes the subject, the object. Object, no, object of knowledge never becomes the subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge never becomes the object of knowledge. Knower never becomes the object of knowledge. Knower is different from the known. Atma is known, Atma is the known, and Jnani is the knower of the Atma. Therefore, if Atma, the action, changeless Atma is actionless, how can a Jnani, the knower of the Atma, also become actionless? Jnani still is subject to action. Therefore, what? Jnani has to combine knowledge with action for the attainment of moksha. Jnani is not free from action. Purupakshi's interest is in jnana karma samuchayaha. He thinks jnani has to perform action. After the attainment of jnanam, he has to combine karma with the jnanam, jnanam with the karma to attain moksha. That is his interest. That's what he wants to say. But we, this verse completely says what? Jnani is free from actions. There's no action possible at all for a jnani. How can we say jnani is actionless? Just because knower of Atma cannot be actionless. Even if Atma is changeless and actionless, knower of the Atma, being different from Atma, cannot be actionless. He is subject to action. That is Purupakshi's argument. Then Chakrabartha's answer. No. The knower of the Atma is Atma only. Knower of the Atma, even though Atma is not the knower. Knower of the Atma is non-different from, non-separate from Atma. Knower of the Atma is Atma only. Atma is actionless, changeless, therefore actionless. Knower of the Atma, being Atma himself, knower of the Atma is also changeless and actionless, essentially. This is the first answer given. So Purupakshi gave an interesting example. The knower of the stump, a post, does not become the stump. The stump doesn't move. The stump doesn't move. Okay? A post doesn't move. It's there. The knower of the stump also cannot be said to be unmoving like a stump. He doesn't become a stump. There's some logic. He has his own reason, example he gives. So here we have to make it very clear. Yes, definitely, knower can never become the known. Known can never become the knower. Knower is always distinct and different from the known, no doubt. But here, the Atma, knower is not different from the Atma. Knower is different from the known, correct. But here, what is known being the Atma? The knower of the Atma is not different from the Atma, because knower is Atma himself. This is the first reason. And the second thing, knowing, according to Purupakshi, is an action. Because knowing is, what sort of action? It is knowing, the act of knowing is what now is a process of knowing. As here the knower is associated with the process of knowing. Therefore, the knower of Atma does not become actionless or changeless. This is Purupakshi's argument. And here, Shankara Bhagavatpada's very, very subtle answer comes. What is that answer? Process of knowing does happen. The process of knowing must happen for knowledge of any object to happen, to rise. For knowledge to happen, for knowledge to rise, there must be process of knowing, no doubt. But here, the knower is Atma. That knower of Atma, a jnani, the knower is not associated with the process of knowing. Better be very careful. It is the intellect, it is the buddhi, the subtlest material product. It is the buddhi which is associated with the process of knowing. It is not the Atma. Buddhi being a material product, intellect being a material product, is of the nature of inertness. Therefore, it is not at all possible for Buddhi to be capable of knowing, to be associated with the function of knowing without the blessing of the Atma. It is purely because of the blessing of Atma. The closest manifestation of Atma, Buddhi, the material product, first of all, enjoys the status of being existent. It becomes known as Buddhi. It becomes conscious, sentient, and functional. It's capable of being functional. It is capable of associating itself with the process of knowing. Buddhi, the blessing of Atma, is associated with the process of knowing. Atma, by its mere presence, it contributes for the capability on the part of the Buddhi. But Atma by itself is not at all associated with any process of knowing. In knowing, there is manifestation of Atma. In the manifestation of consciousness, in the vritti. But vritti by itself cannot contribute for the knowledge. Atma, of course, is not at all associated with the process of knowing. It's because of the mere presence of the Atma in its manifest form, Buddhi is capable of functioning. Therefore, knowledge is possible. Process of knowing is possible. Because of the inseparable closest proximity between the manifestation of consciousness, the Atma, and the manifesting medium, vritti, the Buddhi. As we do not distinguish the Atma from the vritti, we are not cognitively separating the Atma from Vritti. No, because we do not know the Atma. It's always mistaken. Atma is mistaken to be. Atma is erroneously taken to be associated with the process of knowing. Atma is not at all associated with the process of knowing. Atma as a subtlest reality, abstract reality, is there all pervasively, by its mere presence, by its mere nature of knowing. It lends the capacity for the buddhi to be associated with the process of knowing. That's all. Atma is ever of nature of actionlessness, free from functions. Atma is ever free from changes. It is that, okay, therefore, the knower, Atma has the qualification of being the knower from the standpoint of its the association with the mind, intellect, the standpoint of the proximity. Because the associated the manifesting medium, the buddhi. Otherwise, the standpoint of the known, the knower status is attributed to the Atma. There is no knower at all other than the Atma. There is no knower at all other than the Atma. Where is the knower? Who is the knower? Who else is the knower? The knower is, the only knower is Atma. The knower qualification, knowing is the swarupam of the Atma. Because knowing is the swarupam, the knower is said to be the Atma. The Atma is said, okay, the knower qualification is given to the Atma. From the standpoint of the known, without the presence of Atma itself is a blessing. Presence is blessing. Puja Swamiji used to say beautifully, Sannidhi matrena, sannidhi eva mangalam. Presence itself is auspiciousness. Presence itself is the blessing. By mere presence, it blesses. The mind becomes blessed. Antakana becomes blessed. Buddhi becomes blessed. It becomes conscious and sentient. Is because of the presence of Atma, the buddhi becomes conscious, sentient, and functional. The process of knowing is possible. From the standpoint of the function of mentation, the knower status is attributed to the Atma. From the standpoint of the known, otherwise, Atma is not even the knower. There is no knower other than Atma. Therefore, the knower of Atma is Atma. The Jnani is Atma himself. Jnani is Atma. The knower is Atma. Therefore, Atma is actionless. Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Therefore, Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. The knower of the Atma, Jnani, is Atma. Therefore, Jnani is not at all. Jnani is free from all actions. Therefore, Acha Jnani. Cannot kill, cannot instigate to kill by any means. Okay, this much we have seen in the Bhashyam. Is it clear? Okay. We saw the answer. I'm going to read that portion stop today, so tomorrow we can pick up. Okay, continue. See the Purapaksham, Purapakshi's thing. Anyatvad vidushaha. Avikriyatvat atmanaha iti. Nahi avikriyam sthanam vidavataha karmana sambhavati iti chet. The person who knows the stambha cannot be said to be changeless. Cannot be said to be actionless. Knowing the knower of the stump does not become the stump. Similarly, the knower of the Atma is different from the Atma, so he cannot be, the jnani cannot be said to be actionless. So, Shankaracharya gives the answer. Na vidushaha atmatvat. Do you remember now? Vidushaha atmatvat. Do you find exactly where we are? Don't see the page? Satyam uktaha avikriyatvad atmanaha anyatvad vidushaha satuna karana viseshaha iti avikriyam sthanum nahi viditavataha karma na sambhavati iti chet. That is Purupakshi. Purupakshi's argument. Is it? If you come to the point, this answer will become very clear for you. Na vidushaha atmatvat. Yes, knower of the stump. Knower of the stamba is different from the stamba. It has not become the stamba. But here, vidushaha, the vidwan, the knower of the atma, has the status of being the Atma. Knower of the Atma is Atma himself. As knower of the Atma being Atma himself, there is no difference. Knower of the Atma is non-different from the Atma. It's the first answer given. Then, other than the Atma, there is no knower at all. And he says that Dehadi Sanghatasya Vidvatta Nasti. Dehadi Sanghatasya Vidvatta Nasti. Vidvatta means the status of being the knower. The knower status. The knower status, the knower qualification, the knower title is not at all possible for any of the body, mind, and complex. Because body, mind, and complex is a material product. It is of the nature of inertness. It cannot know itself. It cannot know itself. Where's the question of knowing anything else? So, the body, mind, and complex, being the material product, being inert in its nature, it never has the status of being the knower. Ataha, pariseshyat, asamhata atma, Vidwan avikriyaha iti. Therefore, what he says here, asamhata atma. Atma which is not, okay, asamhata atma. The atma, vidwan avikriyaha. Atma is vidwan. The knower is, Atma has the status of being the knower. And Atma is avikriyaha. Therefore, vidvan avikriyaha, changeless. Tasya vidushaha karma asambhavat. Akshepaha yuktaha. Therefore, that objection presented by the question in terms of kaha kam hanti, kam ghatayati, katam ghatayati, katam sa, katam, kam ghatayati, kam hanti, kam ghatayati, katam hanti, katam ghatayati. Those such questions, presented as objection implying negation is appropriate. Why? Because vidushaha karma na sambhavati. Vidushaha karma asambhavat. As There is no karma at all for a jnani. It is appropriate. The objection through negation is appropriate. Jnani has no karma at all. It is impossible for jnani to have any karma because jnani is cognitively distinguished from the anatma and resolved in the atma. Jnani is atma himself. This is the answer. Okay? I'll stop here. Now why I'm stopping here? This is where we left class. Have you made it very clear or not? Knower of, there's no knower. If you take the whole individual body, mind, individual being, here, everything here, the every individual is a composite of two factors, Atma and Atma. Which of the two is knower here? Every individual human being is a composite of two factors, Atma, Anatma. What is Anatma? Material products are Anatma. Physical body, you can say together, Karya Karana Sanghataha. Karya Karana Sanghataha is Anatma. Body, mind, sense, complex. It's called Sanghataha, means put together. Intelligently put together is Sanghata. Karyakarana Sanghataha means body, mind, sense, complex. And this is Anatma. And this entire body, mind, sense, complex is what? Products of matter. It is entire body, mind, sense, complex being a material product, elemental product. We heard it very clearly in Tattva Bodha and other texts also. Body is formed of what? The tamasic aspect of the elements. And the mind is product of sattvic aspect of elements, subtle elements. And sense organs are products of sattvic aspect of elements. And karmendriyani and pranas are rajasic products of rajasic aspects of elements. So entire body, mind, sense complex is sattvic, rajasic, tamasic aspects of elements. Therefore, entire body, mind, sense complex is what now? We can subtle or gross. The difference is, we can say subtle matter or gross matter. Products of subtle, sattvic aspect of elements or rajasic aspect of elements and tamasic aspect of elements, subtle elements. Anyway, the entire body, mind, sense complex consisting of subtle and gross material products. They're all of the nature of inertness. Therefore, they do not have life of their own, do not have the entire body, mind, sense complex, does not have life of its own, sentience of its own, consciousness of its own, existence of its own. So there's no way of becoming functional and active. It is the blessing of Atma. And what the blessing? Presence itself is a blessing. Atma does not need to do anything. Presence itself is enough. Being all pervasive, it's there in every body, mansions, inside and outside of every body, mansions, complex. So in subtle matter, the manifestation is possible. Because the manifestation, the function is possible. Sentience is possible. And the process of knowing is possible. Activation of body is possible. So all the possibility is because of the Atma. But Atma by itself is absolutely changeless, actionless. Which means this Anatma, Karyakarana Sanghatasya Vidvatta Nasti. It does not have the status of being the knower at all. It's always the known only. The knower, Atma is not the knower, because knowing is not an action, not associated with any process of knowing, but there's no knower without the Atma. The knower is only Atma. Therefore, the knower of anything else is also Atma. The knower of anything else in the world is Atma. The knower of the Atma is also Atma. Vidushaha Atmatvat. The knower of the knower of anything in the world is Atma. Knower of the Atmas is Atma only. Therefore, the Jnani, as the knower of the Atma, being Atma, is free from change and actions. This much we have seen already. We have to begin the new class. Okay? Because after long break we're starting, I wanted to just say what we already seen. Is it clear? We will continue tomorrow very clearly, every word by word. Okay? So that I'll see that you understand everything correctly. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.